You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I'm your host, Emeka. What this podcast is all about is letting you know that regular people like you and me can invest in real estate to become wealthy. You don't need millions and billions of dollars to invest in real estate. You can actually invest in real estate with little to no money down. I'm just here to let you know that as long as you have time and can take action, you can become wealthy. And all it takes is a couple of years for you to honestly become financially free. So tune in. Hope you enjoy. What is going on, Stay Ready Crew? It is your boy, Emeka. And today what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about this freaking thing, this freaking 50-year mortgage that President Trump was talking about. Is this a good idea? Today we're going to talk about why I think it's a bad idea. We're also going to talk about why I am biased about it because I'm an investor and I just don't agree with it, right? However, my bias is probably not the greatest because I want what's best for investors, what's best for business, and I just don't know if this cuts it. So I got a bunch of notes to look over here. But, you know, number one, the number one thing that sticks out to me when we talk about a 50-year mortgage is the average homeowner is staying at home 11.9 years and before they move, right? If they're staying at 11.9, let's just round that to 12 years before they move, right? So if you are to move every 12 years, and let's say they move, I didn't actually look into like how often they move. They move once or twice. But for me, we're going to move probably about two or three times in our livelihood, most likely. And then we're going to downgrade. So 50 years is half a lifetime. Well, if you live up to 100 years, right? Half a lifetime. I'm thinking 100 years is a lifetime. And how often are people going to stay in the home? It just doesn't make sense. And why I think that's crazy is because if you have a 50-year mortgage, it's going to take so much longer to increase your equity. And the one thing that's beautiful about real estate is the equity that it gives. So if you're paying more interest over 50 years, which I forget what the number is, I'll get into some details later, but it's going to take you a lot longer. You're going to be a lot more bound to not moving, one, even if you want to, get a new job, all that good stuff. But you might actually end up losing money because, you know, real estate goes up and down. But, you know, if you're in a down cycle and, you know, you have to move because you got a great opportunity, that might suck for you. Like right now, if you were to sell a house in Florida or in Austin, Texas, that would suck for you because you wouldn't have much equity in it 9 times out of 10. And then you'd probably just take the L, take the loss. It doesn't make sense. If you're moving every 12 years, you're going to barely have any dent in that equity. You're still going to have, you know, roughly 38 years worth of equity you have to pay down. So number one, it's crazy. You're not going to build equity. It's going to take you, this is obvious math, right? 30-year mortgage, 15 years at 50% equity. And if that is on a $500,000 house, you'd have $250,000 worth of equity, right? It's pretty simple math. And quite frankly, let's talk about the numbers. Let's keep it pretty simple. But If you were to buy a house for $500,000 with a 10% down payment, your down payment is $50,000, the loan amount would be $450,000, and let's assume it's a 6.5 interest rate. Here's the good thing. Here's why Trump is doing this. Housing is unaffordable. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is unaffordable. People can't buy a house. That's why it's taking a lot longer for first-time home buyers to buy a house. Because I think like a couple months ago, the average first-time home buyer was 38. Then it went to 39. Now we're about 40, right? Depending on who you look at, Realtor, Redfin, Zillow, it seems like everyone has a little bit different opinion, but we're around the same age, right? Between 38 and 40. Let's say 40. What are they doing from the time they graduate college, right? When you're 22, let's say 30 now, because people are staying in college longer. 10 years of renting. And most people probably graduate college at 22. So that's 18 years of renting. And that is great for people like me who want to rent out, build multifamily, build a home, who wants to build and rent, or anyone who just wants to be an investor and rent and be a landlord. But that's not good for America. And America, you know, I'm not getting into politics, but obviously Trump wants to do what's best for America. And that's what he feels is best. You know, I think that the reason he's doing this is because it's going to make it easier to afford the monthly payments because inflation rises, things cost more. So what are the two biggest expenses that everyone has? The two biggest expenses that everyone has is typically number one, their housing. Number two, their car payments. And then I don't have student loans. I've never had it. However, I would assume student loans would be three, but whatever. So we can reduce the housing monthly payment to make it easier for people to get a loan. So let's say that example, a $500,000 house, 10% down payment, 6.5% interest rate. Your monthly payment on a 30-year mortgage would be $2,844. For a 50-year, it'd be $2,490, right? You're saving roughly almost like $400 a month. That is significant. What can people who can't afford a home do with $400 a month, right? I know I can do a lot with $400 a month. That's going to help gas, groceries, kids, and, you know, different utilities and different things you can do. Like, that truly helps the average person who's trying to just make ends meet. And that's the beautiful thing about it. Now, if you add taxes and insurance, a 30-year would be about $3,700 a month, and then a 5th-year would be about $3,300 a month, right? So, like I said, roughly about $400 a month. What can you do with $400 a month? You can do a lot, and that's very significant. And that's about, goodness gracious, like $4,800 a year, right? If my math is good, you know, don't snipe me and, oh, my math is bad. Okay, I don't care. You get where I'm going. So, overall, right, how do we solve the affordability crisis? Lower monthly payments and then increase the mortgage, the amortization, right? So, but here's why I think it is just horrendous. So in that same example, how much interest will you be paying? So on a 30-year, you'd be paying $575,000 roughly worth of interest, right? About $500,000 worth of interest. And it's funny because you bought the house for $500,000. Buy a house for $500,000, you pay a little bit over $500,000 in interest, right? That's on a 30-year. And granted, most people focus on the monthly, but over 30 years, you're paying someone else just pure profit of $500,000. It's just hard to get my mind around, and it's very normal, but I've always tried to figure out a way to stop giving the bank money, right? You can, you know, you're going to be helped out on taxes a little bit because you're going to be paying interest. You get a little bit of a tax break. I don't know how much, but it's not enough, right? But if you were to have a 50-year mortgage, you would be paying about $1.1 million worth of interest over 50 years. Crazy. $1 million just in interest, but you're saving $4,800 a year, right? I think you can understand why I think it's a bad idea, right? Because most people aren't going to understand that is a bad deal, right? And when you look, most things are, you don't really think things are crazy until you look in hindsight. And hindsight is, that's a lot of money. Like, where people ask where the money goes, it went to the interest. It went to the interest, went to the bank that you're paying, right? It is crazy. And especially if the average homeowner is selling after 12 years. So not only during those 12 years, you're mainly just paying interest, you're just paying somebody else, but to turn around and do it again, like you're gonna end up not having equity. Now, as an investor, why I don't like it. It's because there's gonna be less renters, right? More people can afford a $500,000 home than pay that $3,300 or whatever it was. Then why would they rent, right? Because they can afford an expensive home, more expensive home, stay there, stay locked in. They won't, we're most likely not going to be moving every 12 years because they're going to want to pay down that interest, that crazy amount of interest that they're doing. So there's going to be less renters out in the field, right? And it's going to suck for an investor. And at the end of the day, if you're savvy enough, you're going to figure out a way to make it work. However, it's going to be a lot less competition. It's going to be harder to keep people to stay. And quite frankly, why would someone rent if they can find a house, just save up a little bit longer and find a house that they can be in? That's great. It's great for them. I think things are going to start turning more into the construction. There's a shorting, there's a housing shortage. So I think building is going to be more beneficial for investors, but they're going to find the land. And the flip side to that is prices are going to go up, right? There's going to be a lower interest rate, so the value of homes is going to go up because people can afford it. So if you're a builder, if you're selling, it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be amazing for a couple of years until people realize, wait a minute, this sucks. And then we're gonna have to adapt, right? That's what business is about. That's what real estate is about. It's about continuing to adapt. And that's what we're gonna have to do. And the grand scheme of things is housing is definitely unaffordable, right? I'm blessed to be married and I have there's two incomes in this household to help pay this house off, but that's not necessarily the same for everyone else. So the idea is to help the average American, and the average American is not a landlord, and that's why Trump is proposing this. And I get it. I get it. It's also a very hot topic, right? It gets news, it gets coverage. I'm talking about it. Other people are talking about it. Most investors are going to be talking about it. But if you're an investor, I'm listening to this podcast, watching this podcast, then you just need to understand that it's going to get a lot more competitive as soon as this happens, if it happens. Trump does a lot of things. He's going to change his mind tomorrow, probably. But it's very interesting because if you want a 50-year, your monthly payment will be lower if you want to live in a house for maybe a year and then rent it out. So you can technically make more in rents with it, potentially. Right, since there's gonna be a lot of people buying homes, but it's gonna take a lot longer for someone to gain any equity. And how is this gonna change the yearly appreciation in real estate? I think there's a lot of different implications that we can kind of talk about all day. But let me know what you think, right? Let me know if you think this is a good idea. Let me know if you are very excited about a 50-year mortgage. It's a hot topic. I'm very curious of what's going to happen. And I think, yes, it might be beneficial for the average homeowner to have a lower monthly payment, but how beneficial can it be for the long term? Because once you buy the house, now you're stuck. Now you're not going to move because you're not going to have much equity. And how long will it take for it to make sense to move afterwards, right? After you buy this long term. So yes, put your thoughts in the comments. I'm excited to hear from you. Like and subscribe if you like this podcast. Until next time, team. See ya. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed. My goal with these podcasts is to help you get 1% better every single day. And if you enjoyed, please like and subscribe and go to my YouTube channel because I post real life deals and the ongoing things that I'm doing to let you know that I'm walking the talk and not just talking about it, not just yapping. So hope to see you next week. Till next time.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.